The scripture this morning is Micah 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Raise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear you, mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you, enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of river of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to do love, kindness and to walk humbly with your God.
Let us pray together. Living and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your holy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Micah 6:8 is one of those scripture verses I call a bumper sticker theology. It's one of those phrases that a lot of people, if they've been around in the church long enough, they know that scripture verse, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And there's nothing wrong with that verse as it's isolated and picked apart from the scripture text, but as I often say, it's important that we get to the context of that scripture. It not only is important, but it illuminates what the prophet Micah is really trying to say in this story. And to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God, these are all good things, and we could just talk about those alone, but if we dig a little bit deeper, we can understand what the prophet was talking about. Now, the story was written 2,700 years ago. The story of Micah is that he's living under foreign occupation. There is something happening within their nation of Israel where those who are in the most power, those at the highest authority, are allowing these foreign enemies to come in and influence their culture and their society. And Micah has a major problem with the leaders of Israel, with the priests and the authorities, because he criticizes them for all of their exploitation, because they keep getting richer. And in fact, these foreign governments and these foreign armies are coming in to tell them, as long as we give you enough money, you'll be quiet. Micah has a complaint against those who exploit the poor because of their riches. And back in chapter 2, Micah says, "What sorrow awaits you who lie awake at night thinking up evil plans? You rise at dawn to hurry to carry them out simply because you have the power to do so. What sorrow awaits you who lie awake thinking of those evil plans because you have the power to do so." The story in the scriptures today read a bit like the transcript of a court case. Micah speaks from the voice of God. He says that God calls out, he's filing a lawsuit against the people, which may seem quite odd, but in fact it's a common literary technique in the stories of the prophets. This is a covenantal lawsuit. And if we go back in scripture all the way to the book of Genesis, God establishes God's relationship with the people through covenant. It's not quite a legal agreement, but it's a conversation. It's an opportunity to say, if you follow through in this way, I will be there for you. I will protect you. I will guide you. That in fact, all the rules and the codes that we find, the Ten Commandments, plus all the structures and the codes we find in the book of Leviticus, are about of this covenant. They aren't just laws and arbitrary, but they're ways in which the community can stay connected to one another and to God. God calls forth the witnesses, and in dramatic fashion, God calls not just the people, but the hills, the mountains, and the foundations of the earth. God speaks as both plaintiff and defendant. I've heard your case, now hear mine. Here's how you messed it up. God, through the prophet Micah, cites these examples of the Exodus, the time in which the people were enslaved in Egypt, and God led them out of slavery into what eventually would be the Promised Land. He cites the story of Jericho, the time in which the people crossed over into the land of Jericho and took over that nation, which is now Israel. But Micah is complaining because there's been a breakdown. There's been a breakdown in the sacrificial system. We see in verses 7 and 8, Micah says to the people, I don't care what you give to me. I don't care how much money you put in the plate. I don't care what you give me. You couldn't even give me yourself. In fact, you're just going through the motions of your faith. You're carrying out the rules and the codes, but you don't really believe it. You don't really have faith in it. What Micah is railing against here is this kind of understanding without action, this memorization without living. My favorite way to understand this comes from a preacher named Francis Chan. He says, when I tell my daughter to go and clean her room, usually what she does is she goes and cleans her room. Not always, but most of the time. What she doesn't do is go to her room and stay gone for 25 minutes and then come back and say, you know what, Dad? I thought about what you said. I considered it. I wrote it down. I memorized it. In fact, we're going to have some friends come over here in a little while, and we're going to have a study group about what it would look like if I cleaned my room. That's absurd, but this is what we do sometimes in the church. This is what Micah is talking to the people. You know the laws. You know the covenant. You have a full understanding of it, but you're not practicing. You're not doing anything about it. It's as if you're saying, follow the leader. Follow God, follow Jesus in the story, and you say, yep, I'm following you, but it's in my heart. I'm jumping up and down, but it's in my heart. But Micah says, but do you do justice? Do you love mercy? Do you act with humility in the name of God? What Micah goes on to say further nails the idea home. He says, there's great destruction coming, and those with great wealth just get richer. They're climbing on the backs of the poor. Those who are corrupt just get more corrupt. And he says, though you try to save your money, it will come to nothing in the end, because your money that you've gained has come through corruption. At what cost, at what price is this story? We live in this complicated global reality. We see in the news what it means to be Americans, what it means to be citizens of the world. I want to walk us through just a brief exercise, and you have to bear with me. I don't normally do this, but I want you to consider with me something. I brought some props. So Sue is not here today, so she won't get upset about me borrowing bowls from the kitchen. I'm happy about that. I promise I'll clean them. Let's just go along. Let's just assume these bowls equal about $1,000. We're just going to go through this. Okay, so that's about $5,000. Three, four, five, that's about six. I'm almost done, I promise. This is about 12, so that's 12. So that's about $12,000. I'm going to skip a space on purpose. I'll tell you why. So this is about $1,000. This is about $1,000. Let's see, one, two, three, four, five. One, two, three. And this is about $2,000. So much money. That's about $54,000. If you look at statistics, in the countries of Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen, these represent the average income. Of course, you probably know where I'm going right here. This is the average income of the American citizen. Here, this placeholder, it has nothing. This represents Somalia, which the average income is $145. Iraq, $5,000. Average income for a citizen in Iraq, $7,000. That's Iran. That's Iraq, $7,000. Libya, one of the more richer countries, $12,000. $145,000. Sudan, $1,700. Yemen, $1,500. So let's just put these together. These are the seven nations that are banned from entering the United States. These are us. Why do people want to come here? To exploit us? To kill us? To take over our country? I think it's clear. In the context of Micah, we speak about military occupation. And Micah says over and again, we don't know the story. We may go through the motions, but we are not living the story. There is a difference between faith and belief. We can believe the story, but do we have faith in it? Are we living it? 700 years after Micah was written, the story of James, who was enslaved by the Romans, he said, "Listen, brothers and sisters, you must be slow to speak and slow to get angry. Human anger does nothing to produce righteousness God desires. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept God's word planted in your heart. But you don't just listen to it. You must do it. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's just like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, but forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the law that sets you free, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're just fooling yourselves. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God means caring for the orphans and widows and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Remember the covenant. Remember the story of faith. What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God?" Let's pray together. Living, living God, we are called to be a people of faith. We are called to believe in the word of God that says all are a part of this story. Jesus came and he challenged us, and he challenged the people of his own day to see that the story of God was much bigger than one nation. That the story of God included the whole world, all of humanity. All of the world. Help us to find ways to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.